Hello again, Stuart and Jody here. And today is Trinity Sunday. And it's also the first Sunday of the month when we normally at Carey Baptist celebrate communion in the morning service. So just a warning that if you want to participate in the communion service, then get yourself some bread and some wine or some sort of juice, whatever you want, your liquid substitute there, so you can stop, pause at the moment and go and get that if you're not already prepared for that. If you don't want to participate, if you just want to listen to that bit, then you're quite welcome. But whoever is seeking after God is welcome to our table. Let us pray. Lord, as we gather together in your presence, you are always with us at all times and in all places. And we pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would minister and to touch each of our lives as we listen to your word, as we break bread and drink wine together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The reading for today's service is the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Matthew 28, 16 to 20. And Jody is going to read that now.
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Let us pray. Father God, Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray that you would blow through these words of scripture and blow through the words that I'm sharing now and speak to each person who is listening online, that they may hear a living word from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday, the Sunday after Pentecost Sunday. It's very difficult to understand and explain what the Trinity is all about, what it means. But then again, when did we ever think we could explain God? God is a mystery, and the Holy Trinity is the mystery of God, who is one God, yet three at the same time. Not three gods, as Jews and Muslims often complain that Christians are tritheists, that they believe in three gods. We don't, just one God. But the one God who is a community of loving interrelations. Now, that's difficult to understand. Theologians talk about the persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as the relations. God the Father relating in love to God the Son and the Holy Spirit, the flowing love in and through them all. It doesn't really make sense, really, does it? But then, are we to make sense of it at the end of the day? I don't think we're meant to understand the Trinity, but I do believe we're invited into, to join the life of the Trinity, the divine dance that takes place between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God wants to draw in all people and all creation into that dance. One of my favourite books on the Trinity is a book by Richard Rohr, a Franciscan writer, who has a book called The Divine Dance, when he tries to explain what the Trinity means for us, but not just in a head sense, but in a heart sense, that we are invited to participate in the life of God, that we are invited into the dance of the life of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus came to show us what God is like, but more than that, He came to lift us up into the life of the Holy Trinity by his death, resurrection, and ascension. I'm reminded of some words by a worship song by Graham Kendrick, Meekness and Majesty, where it says, "Wisdom unsearchable, God the invisible, love indestructible in frailty appears. Lord of infinity, stooping so tenderly, lifts our humanity to the heights of his throne." That's what Jesus does. He lifts our humanity, lifts humanity up into the life of God, the heights of his throne. And Jesus commissions his disciples to continue to offer this invitation to all nations in the Great Commission that Jody read, the passage at the end of Matthew's Gospel. It says in verse 16 that the 11 disciples, that's the 12 minus Judas, I'm sure there was more than that. I'm sure there was a wider group of disciples, of men and women, who went to the mountain. Now, the mountain is a place deep with symbolism in the Old Testament. We think of Moses on Mount Sinai going to receive the Ten Commandments. We think of mountains of places of encounter with God, with the prophets. We think of Jesus teaching on the mountain. We think of Jesus's transfiguration on the mountain where he met with Moses and with Elijah in front of his nearest disciples, and they saw him transfigured. So the idea of a mountain has a place and an idea of an encounter with God. And it says, when they saw him in verse 17, they worshipped him. That is, they saw Jesus as God. They worshipped him, they fell down before him, they reverenced him. But it says some doubted. Maybe they thought, is this really Jesus? Or maybe they thought, is it right that we should fall down and worship a human being? Being good Jews, being good monotheists, believing in one God, falling down and worshiping God was probably a bit weird for them. They might have thought, is this idolatrous? Is this blasphemous to do this? But when they saw the glory of the risen Christ, all they could do was fall down and worship. But it's nice and human to know that some had their doubts and their struggles, and it means that we also can have our doubts and our struggles about Jesus at times. And then Jesus says to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." So Jesus is already Lord of the cosmos, Lord of the universe, and is reigning and delegates his authority to his disciples. Now, Jesus speaks in the name of God, as God, with the authority of God. And he says to his disciples in verse 18, "Therefore go." There's an active verb. He sends them out to be missionary disciples and tells them to make disciples. What are disciples? Disciples are followers, students, learners of Jesus, people that follow in his footsteps, and of all nations. So that's all people groups. This is before we had nation states that we recognize today, but all ethnic groupings are called to be disciples. Everyone's included. There is no grounds for superiority. We think of that, especially when we think of what's happening in the States with the killing of George Floyd and the racism that's been unveiled there in that situation. There's no grounds in the Christian community for racism, because Jesus wants all nations, all ethnic groups, black and white, whatever your pigmentation of your skin or whatever your cultural background, you're called to be a disciple of Jesus. And then he calls them to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there's baptism, that entrance into the Christian community in the name of the Trinity. We don't have a fully worked out doctrine of the Trinity in the New Testament, but we have hints and pictures of it. It took a few centuries for them to work it out, and we're still working it out today. But we see here, that in baptism we are plunged into the life of God through that ritual, into the life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he says to them to teach them to obey everything that he has commanded them. So teaching, discipleship is still important. They're to learn to be followers, disciples of Jesus. It's an ongoing process. Jesus, who taught so much during his 3 years ministry, now hands on that mantle to his disciples that they should go on teaching what it is to be a disciple of Jesus. And then we are left with a promise. A promise of his presence, that he will be with us always until the very end of the age. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. To know that we are not left alone, we are not left as orphans, we are not left abandoned, but the presence of Jesus through the Holy Spirit is with us in our struggles, is with us in lockdown, is with us as we face anxieties about what the future holds. How will we open up our church again? What will church life look? What will work life look? And the fears that we have about infection at this time and all those issues, that God has not left us, that he is with us and will be with us until the very end of the age. That great commission that Jesus gave to his disciples nearly 2,000 years ago still stands. It has not been rescinded. A former minister in this congregation, William Carey, in the 18th century wrestled with this issue. What does it mean to go and make disciples of all nations? He lived in a century where many Baptists were what would be described as hyper-Calvinists and believed that if God wanted to convert the heathen, then he would do so in his sovereignty without the involvement of human beings. But William Carey challenged that and said, no, we are called to take the good news to all nations. But what does that mean for us today in 2020? I don't think there is the same need in general to go abroad as missionaries, although some people will be called to that in specific cases. And I'm someone who's worked abroad as a missionary in Nicaragua for about 4 years. But in the end, I came to the conclusion that there was a greater need in my own countries of the United Kingdom, and that the Nicaraguans were quite capable of sharing the good news for themselves without my help. And I think we need to look at ourselves, we who were a nation that sent out missionaries across the world to Africa, to Asia, to other parts of the world, and often hand in hand with colonialism and imperialism in many ways, where we exported our culture and not just the gospel. And we have to learn and repent of some of the things that we are involved in, repent of our involvement with colonialism and with slavery. And we think of the legacy of that today when we see Black Lives Matter and the situation with the killing of George Floyd in the United States, but also ourselves. We are implicit in that. You know, where do you think the Americans got the idea of slavery from in the first place? It was from us, the British, in many ways. I was watching a program about a house in Bristol and the history of that, with the slave trade going back in time, and reminded of the complicity of many of our riches are built on the backs of slavery. And we need to repent of that. And our nation, our people, need to hear the good news afresh when a very small percentage of us are active Christians, perhaps 5 or 6%. That means 95% of our population needs to hear the good news afresh. And how can we do that at present in lockdown? Well, one small way we can do that, in a couple of weeks' time, we're starting an Alpha course online on the 15th of June. At 8 o'clock, just a 40-minute discussion after you've seen the video, which is about 20 minutes online. And we can use that as an opportunity to reach out with people to discover the good news for themselves. But not just Alpha. We have a responsibility to share with our family and friends at this time what God means to us, what our faith means to us, what Jesus means to us in the midst of the circumstances that we face, how he gives us strength, how he gives us hope, how he gives us courage and meaning in these difficult circumstances. All are invited to share the life, the dance of the Holy Trinity. We are all already unconditionally loved, accepted, and forgiven. But many, many do not know that for themselves. And it is our privilege, our responsibility, and our joy to share that good news with others, that they may come to discover for themselves God's love, God's forgiveness. And after consciously and joyfully discovering that for themselves, they can enter into the flow and the life of the Holy Trinity, which we can begin to experience even now upon this earth and will flow out on into eternity beyond this life. What a hope that is. We should not keep it to ourselves, but share it with all. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for showing your love to us in the human face of Jesus. Thank you that in him, through his death and resurrection and ascension, you have lifted up the human race to the heights of your throne, that we are called to participate in the life of your life, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Help us to invite others into that dance, that we may joyfully experience the flow of the love and forgiveness that flows between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit out into all people and all creation. And help us to share that good news with everyone we meet, that they can come to know that reality for themselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're now going to move into a time of Holy Communion. So if you want to participate and you don't have some bread or some juice, then stop the recording now and go and get some and then rejoin me. Let's gather as we prepare to celebrate communion in a moment of quiet. Come to this table not because you must, but because you may. Not because you're strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Let's listen to those familiar words again from the Apostle Paul as he tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper. For the tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and after giving thanks to God, broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is a new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." Amen. And as Jesus gave thanks for the bread and wine, we likewise give thanks. Father God, we thank you for this bread and this wine, which speak to us and make present the death and resurrection of your Son. We thank you for him, for his life of love and service and healing, for his willingness to go to the cross that we might be reconciled to you. We give you thanks that he did not remain dead, that you raised him to life, and now he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Holy Trinity, pour out the life of the Holy Spirit upon us who are celebrating this communion together online, and upon this bread and this wine, that we may be infused with your life, that we may be invited to participate fully in the dance of the life of the Holy Trinity, and live with your joy in our hearts, your forgiveness of all our sins, and your strength and freedom to follow in the way of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Jesus took the bread and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me." We now take and break and share the bread with each other. Jodie, the body of Christ broken for you.
Body of Christ broken for you.
Amen. Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink this, do so remembering me." So we now take the wine and share it with each other, or drink it by ourselves if we are alone. But we are not alone, because when we celebrate communion, we are all united together, not just with our own little church community here at Carey Baptist, but with all the global church throughout the world and all the church in heaven and on earth. Jodie, the blood of Christ shed for you.
Blood of Christ shed for you.
Let us pray. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. And keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so that we and all your children shall be free and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We are now going to pray for the wider world, and Chris Hampson, one of our deacons here at Carey Baptist in Moulton, is going to lead us in our prayers of intercession. And now a blessing after Chris's prayers. The blessing of God, life giver, pain bearer, love maker, be with us all, now and always. Amen.
In our prayers today, we're going to think about the friends who we know need our prayers. Then we'll widen our view to things in our local area which need praying about. And finally, we'll look to some of the needs of the world, near and far away. But first, we pause in gratitude. Father, we come to you in thankfulness for all that you are and all that you give us. You provide abundantly for us. We don't live in want. We see your wonders as we look at your creation, and we know that you love us and care for us. Help us to hold on to that sense of gratitude, even though we may be living in difficult times. Father, as we come to pray, we know that many of us and our friends have been struggling with not being able to meet each other for so long. Some of us have felt very lonely, and we can't see an end to our situation. Help us to hold on to the knowledge that things will improve, and that you still hold our future in your hands. Help us to hold on to the promise that you're with us until the end of all things, even though just at the moment we can find that difficult. As we sit here in our living rooms, we think of the friends we'd normally be seeing, perhaps sitting next to in worship, and we pray for them. We know that some of them are going through tough times with their health and undergoing various treatments, and that some of them are having to deal with the loss of people that they love. Some of them have financial worries because they can't work at present. Some of us have friends and family outside this fellowship who have illnesses and bereavements and various other problems to deal with. None of us knows who all of these people are, but you do, and we commit them to you. Father, you love all these people as you love us, and we confidently ask you to meet their deepest needs. Thank you, Father, that there seems to have been a new sense of caring in our society over the past weeks. We ask that you will put it into people's hearts to continue that. In particular, we thank you that the men for whom we have supplied meals at the emergency night shelter have been able to be in a safe place, accommodated in hotels, over the past 3 months. Thank you that there seems to be a determination from the organisations at the front of this to ensure that their needs are met more permanently. We pray for harmony amongst those organisations as they work together to make this happen. And we pray for those bodies who help to deal with abuse in a family setting, both of adults and children. We've heard that this has been an increasing problem in these times of isolation, and we pray particularly for the work of Eve. Father, you love all these people as you love us, and we confidently ask you to meet their deepest needs. Looking further afield, Father, we thank you that young people are beginning to be able to return to their classrooms, and we pray for the reassurance that many of their parents will need that they are safe. We pray for teachers who are needing to deal sensitively with the situation. We pray for the children themselves who have lost time with their friends and been desperate to come back together. We continue to pray for our healthcare workers and thank you for them. And in the wider world, Father, we pray for those societies where healthcare is rudimentary and where there just aren't the resources which are needed at the best of times, let alone in the current situation. We continue to pray that rich societies will not forsake these poorer places where there is such great need. Father, you love all these people as you love us, and we confidently ask you to meet their deepest needs. All of our prayers we bring in the name of Jesus, our Saviour and our loving friend. Amen.
Thank you for joining us, and hopefully see you online next week. Go well. God bless.